Or to both say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samech Beis 62. We are picking up on Samech Aleph Amud Beis 61b. Tana Rabbanon, four lines up from the bottom. So a beautiful, beautiful Gemara today. Tana Rabbanon, Hamadlik es Hagodesh Shvayubo Kelim. So if I go ahead and I light Reuven's field on fire, and there were utensils inside the field. Remember, we said yesterday we started the fascinating topic of Tomon, or the Machlokis of Tomon. And we had a Machlokis in Rabbi Huta and the Chachamim, namely, if I go ahead and I burn down Reuven's field, and inside Reuven's field are utensils or Kelim that were hidden in the field, am I chayiv for the utensils? So Rabbi Huda says yes. The Chachamim say no. We spent yesterday's daf defining, at least according to Rava's approach, that there are even situations where the Rabbanon would agree that you would be chayiv. The machlokis in terms of what the scope of that is, but lamaisa again, a distinction between kindling a fire in my own property versus a kindling that's present to Reuven's property versus kindling a fire directly in Reuven's property. So we'll see. So turn up on us. So the rabbis taught, if I lit Reuven's field on fire, and inside Reuven's field there were utensils, vidalko, and ultimately what happened? The field burned, and the utensils burned. So Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Mishalim Komashai Besocho. So Rabbi Huda says, I have to pay for all damages, right? I have to pay for everything. Ultimately, again, that was damaged in the field. The Chum say, no, Eino Mishalim Ela Godish Shalchitin O Godish Shalsor. So the Chachamim say, that no, I only have to pay for the produce that was damaged. A grain field or a barley field. But here, the price introduces something very interesting. Veroin Makom Kalim. Now the Chachamim holds that you don't have to pay for utensils that were hidden inside of the field, but the Chachamim do hold that Lamaisa, even though you don't have to pay for the utensils, but we look at the area that the utensils occupied as having been filled with grain or barley. So for example, so whatever space the utensils covered, so we would go ahead and assume that what would the value of that area be were it to be covered ultimately with grain and barley, and you would have to pay that amount, top of Samech Beis. The Medrash Amurim, when is this so? The Madlik Pesoch Shalov, Ha'achov Adolko Pesoch Shal Chaviro. We'll say, this is assuming that I lit this fire in my field, and then ultimately, again, the fire went ahead and spread to the field of my friend. Aval Madlik Pesoch Shal Chaviro. But if you go ahead and you ignited your friend's field, in other words, I lit the fire not in my field, and it spread to Reuven's field instead, I lit the fire in Reuven's field itself, then in this case, Devri HaKol, Mishalim Komasha Haya Besocho. Everyone will agree that what? You have to pay not only for the grain damage, but what? For the utensils damaged as well. Rabbos and Rashi points out over here that Rava would have his own interpretation of this Breisa. Because remember again, Rava's of the opinion that what? Bless you. Rava's of the opinion that Lemaisa, you are only chayiv for utensils, according to the Rabbanon, only chayiv for utensils that you would normally assume would be in the field, like threshing utensils, plowing utensils. But if Reuven left his wallet in the field, then according to the Chama, I would not be chayiv for that. So okay, so Rabbi just has his own interpretation of this braisa. Umod Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees, bless you. Uncle Mike, all right, that's enough. So Rabbi Huda agrees with the Chum, that's what? Rabbi Huda agrees in the following case. B'mashil makom lechavero lahagdish godish. Both listen to this. Rabbi Huda would agree with Rabbanon in the following case. Remember, Rabbi Huda under normal circumstances says that you're chayiv for tamun. The Rabbanon say that you're pater for tamun. But even Rabbi Huda would agree in the following situation. I lend Reuven a place to store his wheat, lahagdish godish. So I agreed to give him an area to stack his grain. Vehigdish vehitin, hitmin. So what happens? He stores a pile of grain on my property, and he hid some utensil inside the grain. Now, obviously, I have no knowledge of this utensil. So what's the halacha? And now, let's say again, his stack of grain burned down. So the halacha is she'in mishalim ela demei godish bilvad. I only have to pay Reuven the value of a stack of grain, and not the value of the item hidden in the stack. See, even Rabbi Huda, who normally says that I am chayiv for tamun, I am chayiv for utensils that are within a grain field, agrees that in this case, where Reuven is renting space from me, or has asked to store his stuff in my property, tells me that he's storing a pile of grain, but it turns out that's what? That he put some utensils inside the pile that I was unaware of, and then, again, the pile burned down. I am only chayiv for the value of the grain, not chayiv for the value of the utensils. Similarly, lahagdish chitin vehigdish sovereign. So I'll say similarly again, if Reuven asked me to store a pile of wheat in my property, and it turned out that he stored a pile of sa'ar, of barley, or sa'orin vehigdish chitin, or about he told me that he was going ahead and what? That he was going to store barley, but instead he stored wheat, or chitin vechipan besa'orin, or he stored a pile of wheat, but he covered the pile of wheat with barley, or sa'orin v'chipan b'chitin, or Rabbi Osai, he stored a pile of barley, but he covered it with wheat. In all of these cases, what's the halacha? She'eino mishalim ela d'mei sa'orin b'chitin. Rabbi Osai, the Gemara is presupposing over here that barley is less expensive than wheat. Therefore, in all of these cases, so I only have to pay Reuven the value of barley, not the value of wheat. Rabbi Osai, remember, each of these cases is for a different reason. So, l'maisa again, if he tells me that he's going to store wheat and he ended up storing barley, so obviously I'm only chayiv for barley because I'll never chayiv for more than the actual value of damages. If he says that he was going to store barley, but instead he stored wheat, I'm only going to be chayiv for barley. Why? Because that's what I took upon myself. That's what I agreed to. I can't be chayiv for more than ultimately, again, I originally took upon myself. Similarly, if he said if he stored barley, but he covered it with wheat, even though it looks like wheat, lemaisa, again, I'm only chayiv for the damages done for barley. And if at the end of the day he stored wheat, but he covered it with barley, so that I think I'm watching barley, that's what I undertook upon myself, and therefore I'm only going to be chayiv barley. Amar Rava, so we'll say along these same lines, Rava said, Hanosin dinar zahav li'isha, va'amar la, his zahari bo shal kesefu. So we'll listen to this case. So Rava says, if I give a dinar zahav, I go ahead and I give a gold dinar to a woman. And we'll say, the Gemara just chooses a woman, just meaning this halacha is not a gender-specific halacha. So I go ahead and I give a dinar zav. I go ahead and I give a gold dinar to a woman. And I say to her, be careful with this because it's silver. Let's say you could have, I have white gold, right? So I have white gold. I give it to the shah. I give it to the president. So do me a favor. Watch over this because it's expensive. It's silver. So what happens? So his ikaso, mishalemes dinar zav. So we'll say, at the end of the day, his ikaso means that, let's say, the shomer intentionally damaged it, right? So the woman takes it, she throws it into the sea, or she throws it into the fire, and it's just destroyed. So she destroyed it with her own hands. So the halacha is, mishalem es dinar zav. In that case, even though I told her that it was silver, she's still going to be chayiv for gold. Why? What's the logic there? Mishum da amar la, my havi lech gabe da'az kaseh. Why would you have damaged it? In other words, well, I say to her, I don't understand. You willfully engaged in an act of damage. So what gives you the right to damage this item, actively damage it, whether it was actual gold or silver? Meaning you damaged it biadayim. So the fact that you damaged my property, you now take full responsibility. Well, so take a look at Rashi. My havilech kabei das kase. So biadayim, what's your problem? Literally, what's your problem that you actively damaged this with your hands? She burnt it or she threw it into the sea. Fine. So I'll say, so interestingly enough, in a case over here of where the woman actively damaged the item, so Lemaisa, again, in a case like that, I say to her, I don't understand. Why are you damaging the item? So meaning, what right do you have to actively damage the item via dime? If you're doing that, then you bear responsibility for the object. However, pashabo, I will say, let's say again, she did not go ahead and actively, intentionally damage it. Pasha means she was negligent. I will say, so Rashi's over, for example, what does negligence mean? Lo shamartu kiderach hashomrim ba'avan. She didn't guard it vigilantly enough, right? She left the front door to the house open. So, you know, something of that. So again, this is not a case ultimately of actively destroying the item. It's just some level of negligence. So what's talacha? Pashabo mishalem shel kesef. This is interesting. If she was a posheya, if she was negligent, she only has to pay the value of silver, even though what? Even though it was actually gold. Why? The Amrale, because she could say back to me, Nitirusa de Kasba Kabila Alai. I accepted myself to watch silver. Nitirusa de Dava lo Kabili Alai. I never accepted upon myself to watch gold. In other words, so we'll say, so in this kind of case, she says, listen, you told me the object was silver. So when I took the responsibility for it, I took responsibility for silver. And therefore, again, we'll say, so let's be clear on this. So there's no question over here that there's an element of negligence. So again, that negligence may be due in part to the fact that she says, you know what, it's silver, it's not such a big deal. What's the worst case scenario? If it gets damaged, I'll go ahead and repay it. But I never accepted upon myself gold. And had I known that it was gold, perhaps I would have conducted myself a bit differently. Amalei Rav Mordechai, Rav Ashi. So Mordechai says, Rav Ashi, Asun b'dirava masnisola. So you learn this statement from Rava. Ana mi masnisa pshitalon. We learn this from the Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah say? Actually, the Braisa. What did the Braisa say? Chitin v'chipan b'sorin. We'll say, if, let's say again, I lent Reuven space to store his grain, and Reuven went ahead and brought in chitin. He brought in wheat, but he covered the wheat with barley, so that it looks like it's barley. Or sorin v'chipan b'chitin. Or he brought in barley, but he covered it ultimately again with wheat. Eino mishalim ela deme sorin bilvat. If let's say again the grain gets destroyed, so I am responsible for that, but I only have to pay him. So Orin, Alma, Amarle Nitirusa de Sarikabila Alai. We'll say, why is that? Because Lamaisa, again, when Reuven goes ahead and asks me to store barley, and he ends up storing wheat, or for that matter, again, he brings in grain, and it might be wheat, but he covers it with barley, so on the outside it looks like barley. That's what I assume I am watching, and that's the level of responsibility I accepted. Hachanami, so to over here, Amrale, Nitirusa de Dava, Lo Kabili Alai. Therefore, I will say, in the case of the woman, she simply says, I accepted upon myself to watch silver. I never accepted upon myself to watch gold. And therefore, my liability is capped at silver. Amarav, Shamis Milsa, Rabbi Hudovalo Yedana, Mahi. So, this is interesting statement. So, Rav said, you know, I once heard a really good teaching from Rav Yehuda, but I don't remember what it is. Amar Shmuel v'lo yada Abba my Shmiale l'Rav Yehuda. So does Abba is a term of deference. Does Abba not remember what he heard? So I'm sorry. V'lo yada Abba my Shmiale l'Rav Yehuda de Mechayiv amniske tamun ba'ish. So we'll say what you heard was the following. According to Rav Yehuda, who says that you're chayiv for tumah, that when you burn down someone's field, you are chayiv for any utensils that are hidden inside of that field. So the shayla was, asu takonas nigzal bi'isho. Be'isho. So we'll say, listen to this. So there's what's called, what the Gemara calls over here, takonas nigzal. So if you look at Rashi, asu takonas nigzal be'isho. Rashi says, ki echi te tiknu rabbana le nigzal, vishava kama gazlo v'yitol, we'll say there are certain circumstances where if something is stolen from you, so I, the victim, could take a shavua and collect based on my shavua. So I swear that X amount of dollars were stolen from me. I'm simplifying the case over here. That's called takonas nigzal. Then under certain circumstances where the veracity of my claim cannot be proved through witnesses, I, the victim, have the ability to take a shvua and collect based on that shvua. So we'll say, listen to this case. I burned down Reuven's field. Reuven claims that what? There were utensils there. What's the problem? There's no way to ascertain what if anything, was there. Now, according to Rabbi Huda, who holds that you're chayiv for tamun, so do we say this what's called a takonas nigzal? So will we allow Reuven to take a shvua about the utensils that were in the field, and as a result of that shvua, I, the perpetrator, will be chayiv to pay? So the Gemara says, so my shvili Rabbi Huda, the mechayiv on this ketamun beish, asu takanas nigzal beisho. So the Gemara says, boya meimar asu takanas nigzal. So both say, I'm sorry. So according to Rabbi, it's actually a statement. According to Rabbi Huda, they made a takanas nigzal beisho. So that they went ahead and they said, by eish, if you hold that you're chayiv for tamun beish, that Rabbi Huda said literally again, the victim could take a shavua about the kalim that were in the field and ultimately collect based on that. Now both say, we assume in general in halacha that a shavua is enough of a deterrent for people to lie. Meaning a deterrent to lying. That somebody's not going to lie when it requires... People lie all the time. When it comes to a shavua, somebody's not going to lie regarding a shavua. All right. So, baya meimar. Asu takhanas nigzal bin masr olu. That's another interesting question. So now that we're talking about takhanas nigzal, Gemara deals with the following situation, a moser. So we'll say a moser is someone who hands over a Jew to the government. And we'll say, now I just want to point out, this term is very often misused in contemporary society. So people think that today if you call law enforcement about another Jew, that that's called a moser. So we'll say, again, that is an unequivocally false statement. If chas v'shalom, someone is a danger to the community, right? There's an absolute obligation to involve law enforcement. There's an absolute obligation to go ahead and call the police when a person poses any kind of danger to the general community. When the Gemara talks about Nasira, the Gemara talks about handing over Jews to corrupt, unjust governments. That's the concept of Masira. It does not refer, again, to a system of law, to a system of justice. It's very, very important to show. So let's say the following situation. So the case over here is, and the case over here is where a Jew is a Moses. We'll say, so you have, we'll call him Reuven. So Reuven handed over Shimon to the government, okay? And by doing so, caused Shimon a significant loss. So the shaylin now is there a takanas nigzal b'masur? In other words, could Shimon, the victim, take a shavua about the damages that Reuven's mesira caused him, and as a result, collect damages from Reuven? That's the shayla. So alibu demandam or lo daininon dina digarmi lo tibay lecha tebe mesiros. The mesiros nami lo dainina. So we'll say, the Gemara now is introducing to us another concept, which is the concept of garmi. Now, we've been dealing up until now with a concept called grama. So grama means causation. So what does garmi mean? Garmi also means causation. And we'll say, we're going to deal with this. We're going to deal with this. See, Rashi points it out. So it's on Kof Yod Zayin. On page 117, we'll get to this. All right. So another 2 months, we'll get to this. So we're going to see, by the way, that the ability to draw the line between grama and garmi, we're going to see, is a very elusive process. Suffice it to say for our purposes today that both are causation, but garmi is a little bit more direct causation. That's really what we're going to see. Both are grama, so to speak. Both are causative. Garmi is a little bit more direct. Grama is a little bit more indirect. So let's say it's like this. So remember, when Reuven hands over Shimon to the government and causes him financial loss, is that a direct damage? So the answer is no. Reuven is triggering a process that results in, Reuven's triggering a process that results in Shimon's financial damages. So if you hold that in general, Beis Din gets involved in cases of Garmi, that Beis Din does not get involved in cases of Garmi, so the kasha doesn't come up. Elikiti b'ilcho. Demand Amar Dainin and Dina Digarmi. So Rabbi say, if you hold that Beis Din does involve itself in Garmi cases, in causation cases, then the question was, Asu Takonas Nigzal Ben Masar, De Mishtaba V'Shakal Olo. So will we allow, ultimately, again, Shimon, who was the victim of Reuven's Mesira, to go ahead and swear in a Beis Din about the damages he incurred and collect those damages from Reuven? To which the Gemara answers, Teku. To which the Gemara says, we'll have to leave it, we're not sure, the Anavi will answer it. Ha'u gavra, debatish bekaspasto, bekaspasa, dechavre. Well, so listen to this case. There was a man who kicked the kaspasa of his friend. So what's that kaspasa, Rashi says, is argos shemanichem bok safim. A money box. Right? So I have a money box, and my friend Reuven kicked my money box into the water. And what happened? So Shajie Benara fell into the water. So the money box is lost. So I come to this and I say, look, so and so, right? I go ahead and I begin to detail what was inside the money box. So as well say, obviously now, what's the issue? The issue is, I know that we all know Reuven kicked my money box into the sea. The problem is what? What was in it? So I come to Beis Din, I claim, I give an inventory of what was in it. So what's the halacha? Yosef Ravashi Vakama Ayin Bey, Ki Hai Gavna Mai. So Ravashi went ahead and said, well, what do we do in this kind of case? Amr the Ravina Ravacha Breid Ravava, Amr the Ravacha Breid Ravava Ravashi, Lav Hainu Mas Nisin, is this not our Mishnah, this non, Umodim Chom Rabbi Huda, Bemadlike Sabira, Shemeshalim Komashe Besocho. She came derech b'nei Adam b'haniach b'batim. Suppose I listen to this. To which the Gemara answers, is this not the Mishnah? What did the Mishnah say? That if Reuven comes along and burns down Shimon's home, that remember again, Reuven, everyone will agree, even the Chachamim will agree, that you're chayiv for all the contents of the home. Why? Because people keep stuff in their home. Therefore, again, even the Chachamim who normally say that you're pater for tamun will agree that in a home there's no patur for tamun, because people keep all types of utensils in their home. So too over here. People keep stuff in their money box, and therefore I, the owner of the money box, should be believed to give an inventory of what was in my money box. I relate to which he said, you're right. So we'll say, listen to this. If I'm claiming that there was cash in my money box, then I'm believed. But what's the case? Oh, whoops, the case over here is I say, there was a diamond in there. Right? There was a diamond in there. So my, so we'll say, so what do we do in a case like this? Mi manchi inish marginisa bekasva sa'olo. Do people normally keep precious jewels in their money boxes or not? So we'll say, see now, the question in this case over here is, can we establish a norm? Say, inachinami, if lemaisa again, people keep their jewels in their money boxes, again, remember again, you know, I'm only going to be able to collect from Reuven with a shvuah, because remember again, you can't just say stuff and be believed, you have to take a shvuah. But the shaila is, will we even allow someone to take a shvuah in a case where they're claiming they kept their jewels in their money box? Is this something that's normal or not? To which the Gemara says, teku. To which the Gemara says, we'll have to allow Eliyahu Navi to answer this question. Omri Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ravashi, ta'in kasa de kasva babira mai. Supposed to listen to this case. Reuven burns down Shimon's home. And what happens? And Shimon claims that inside his home, he had an expensive silver cup. So do we believe him or not? So Amar Lasi responded, Chazino, I inish amitu, de isle kisa de kasba. So let's look at Shimon's financial standing. Is Shimon a man of means? That a person like him would have a silver cup in his possession. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. What this is saying is, when Reuven damages Shimon's home, and now Shimon comes to Basin to give an inventory of stuff that was lost in the fire, so do we believe, let's say he says some expensive stuff, you know, somebody asks this question, Ari asks this question, yes, after the shiur, right? Shimon shows up and Shimon says, you know, I had a Van Gogh painting, you know, hanging in my living room. So do we believe him or not? To which the Gemara says, well, we assess him. In other words, we take a look at what his financial standing was. Is he the kind of guy, bless you, is he the kind of guy that would have a Van Gogh in the living room or not? Or, inami, inish mehemnehu, the mifkede inish gabe. Or is he the kind of person who's so trustworthy in the eyes of others that what? That others would deposit their Van Gogh with him. So they're not having Van Gogh, but silver. So we'll say, so again, just because he might not be a wealthy person himself, if he's a trustworthy person, he might be the kind of person other people deposit stuff with.
Why do they do that with the money box?
I'm sorry?
Why don't they assess him with the money box?
So there, because there the Gemara is asking, because there it's not an individual issue. There the Gemara is actually just asking like a societal issue. How do people use money boxes? There the Gemara just wasn't sure, like, what's the usage of this? Do people store precious stones in money boxes or not? To which the Gemara just said, the truth is, when the Gemara says take something like that, the Gemara just says, we're unable to establish a norm. We don't know what the norm is, therefore it's just standing. So the Gemara says, so the mifkidi inish gabe, mishtaba v'shakil. So we'll say, if he's the kind of person, A, who possesses the means to have a silver cup, or if he's trustworthy enough to other people deposit this with him, then he takes a shavuah. And once he takes the shavuah, he would be permitted to go ahead and take the money for it. V'ilo, but I will say, if we assess that either A, he doesn't have the means, or B, he's not trustworthy enough that people would deposit their stuff with him, then lav kol kamine. Then he is not believed to say that he was in the possession of this silver. Amrli Rav Avi b'Rei Rav Avya, Rav Ashi, ma bin gazlon l'chamson. So Rav Avi asked Rav Ashi, we'll say, what is the chilek? What's the difference between a gazlon and a chamson? So says Amrli, chamson yohev dimeh. So we'll say, this is interesting enough. A chamson is someone who takes an object and then throws the money at the owner. Right? So remember again, lav dafka, by the way, you know, with the chamson, lav dafka, the object is for sale, right? But what happens? I see your watch. I say, that's a nice watch. I want to buy it from you. You say, sorry, it's not for sale. I say, yes, it is. I grab it off your wrist. I give you $1,000 and shalom ha'Yisrael. I've given you the money. So gazlan lo yoiv dami. A gazlan, I ever steal stuff. So we'll say, it's theft, meaning I'm still stealing it from you, but I'm giving you the money for it. A gazlan is someone ultimately again who steals and doesn't give money. So one second, but if somebody pays for something, is he really called a chamson? So we'll say, if I go ahead, literally talu means I hang someone. In other words, let's say I physically threaten someone to sell something, and they sell it to me, the sale is a valid sale. So you see that even when you force someone to sell something under duress, the sale is a valid sale. To which the Gemara says, so if that's the case, if I take the object from Reuven, right, and I throw the money at him, and Reuven takes the money, should that sale not be a valid sale? Suppose here's the difference. At the end of the day, there are circumstances where the sale is under duress, but ex post facto, so the quote-unquote, the seller says, fine. So if he says fine at the end of the day, then einachinami, the sale stands. If ever, even after the transaction, it's clear that he does not want to sell, he wants his object back, that under those circumstances, ultimately, again, the person is considered to be a thief. Therefore, according to the Gemara, the case of Chamson is someone who takes the object, gives money to the owner. The owner still, after even receiving the money, still says, I don't want the money, I want my object back. Such a person is going to be a chamson. Fine. Amud Bezer will say, says the Mishnah, gets sheyatza mitachas hapatish v'hizik chayr. Well, so another interesting case. So let's say again, I'm hammering, I'm banging metal, and what happens? A spark. A spark escapes from underneath my hammer, v'hizik, and damages someone. So what's talocha chayiv? So we'll say, so I'm chayiv for any sparks that come from my hammer. Similarly, we'll say, if I'm leading my camel through the Rosh Hashanah, now let's say my camel has flax on its back. So if you could just imagine the flax, right? The length of the flax is arranged on the width of the animal. So the flax overhangs the sides of the animal. And as I'm leading my animal through the Rosh Hashanah, and what happens? The flax extends into one of the stores. The flax is ignited by the fire inside one of the stores. The hidlik esabira. I then go ahead and take my animal, and my animal sets someone else's home on fire. So what's talocha? Bal gamal chayiv. So we'll say in that case I am chayiv. Why? Because I was negligent in that I allowed the flax of my camel to extend into the stores, into the shopkeeper's store. However, heniach chenveni neiro mibachutz. But if the chenveni, if the shopkeeper kindled his fire outside of his store, and then the flax on my camel is ignited, ha-chenveni chayiv. We'll say in a case like this, the shopkeeper will be chayiv because he should not have allowed his candle, his fire, to be outside. However, Rabbi Huda Omer b'ner Chanukah pater. Rabbi Huda will say, but there is one exception to this rule. What's one exception to this rule? Ner Chanukah. Because since Ner Chanukah, again, there's a mitzvah to light it outside. Therefore, again, the chenveni did it b'rishus. The onus is upon the Baal HaGamal to be careful that the straw does not ignite. Says the Gemara, Amar Avino, Mishmei D'Rava. So Avino said, Neymar Rav, Shema Amin Amar Mid Rabbi Huda. Learn out from Rabbi Huda's statement, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha b'soch asara. So we'll say, learn out from here that according to Rabbi Huda, there is a mitzvah to kindle your ner Chanukah within 10 tfachim of the ground. Because if you hold that the mitzvah is to kindle the ner Chanukah above 10 tfachim, so amai amar Rabbi Huda ner Chanukah pater. If that's the case, we'll say that the mitzvah to kindle ner Chanukah is to what? To kindle it above 10 tfachim. So why is it that the Mishnah says that when Reuven the shopkeeper kindles his ner Chanukah outside, I'm leading my camel by, the straw ignites and burns down someone's house, that Reuven is potter. Reuven should be chai because let him place his ner Chanukah higher. To which the Gemara says, the fact that Reuven's potter indicates to us that the mitzvah is to ignite ner Chanukah, kindle ner Chanukah, lemata migoy below 10 tfachim. To which the Gemara says, Leimolei, havelei lanuche lemala migamal varoch bo, if because otherwise Reuven should have been obligated to kindle his candle higher. Rather, what do you see from here? That the mitzvah is to kindle near Chanukah within 10 tfachim. To which the Gemara says, Amri lo, li olam eim locha afilu malam e'asara. In fact, one could go ahead and kindle the near Chanukah even above 10 tfachim. My amrit, ibay locha la'anucha lamalam e'gamal v'rochva. So what should you say to Reuven, the shopkeeper, Reuven, when you kindle your near Chanukah, you should really light it higher than the camel on its rider. To which the Gemara says, Kevan, To which the Gemara says that since Lamaisa, again, they were engaged in the mitzvah, therefore the rabbis were not matriach. In other words, they're both saying that Einachinami, it could be that outside you should go ahead and kindle the fire. You should kindle the Ner Chanukah Lamalamiyut, above 10 Tvachim. But since there's only so much Chazal are going to be matriach Ruvain for the performance of the mitzvah. Amrav Kahana. So first of all, you should know the halacha is that ideally Ner Chanukah should be kindled lamata miyud, within 10 tefachim of the ground. Within has to be lamala migimol, above 3 tefachim, but lamata miyud. I will say, now remember, this is just when you're kindling it outside, because lamata miyud tefachim, ultimately, again, a person is able to see it. So there, and that indeed is the halacha, that if Reuven, the shopkeeper, kindled his Ner Chanukah outside, and again, Shimon's camel is holding straw, and the straw ignites, damages the straw, potentially burns down the building, Reuven, the shopkeeper, is putter, because he has the halachic license to place his Ner Chanukah where he did. Now, however, again, the maximum height for Ner Chanukah ultimately is Esrim Amah, 20 Amah. So above 20 Amos, the Ner Chanukah is going to be pasul. Kisuka ukimavui. The same way Rabbi said that applies by a sukkah and by a mavui. So remember again, sukkah, this is the first Mishnah of Masechta Sukkah, that if the sukkah is the malame Esrim Amah, the sukkah is pasul. And similarly, a mavui. Mavui, remember, let's go back to our Erev and Days for just a moment. So mavui is an alleyway. The way you are matakein, the way you, so remember again, there's an issur d'rabbanan to carry in a mavui. And the reason for that is because it resembles a rishus harabim. The way you go ahead and you take care of that issue is how you put a lechi or a korah. Let's say you put a beam across the opening of the mavui. That's a demarcation. That korah has to be within 20 amas. I must say the logic is the same in all of these cases, because it has to be an item deshulta ba'ina. There has to be a visual connection between me and the object. So the malame esrim ama, a person doesn't visually connect with the schach. Lamalame esrim ama, a person does not visually connect with the korah. Lamalame esrim ama, a person does not visually connect with the Ner Chanukah. Hadrin Allah Hakon. So we'll say Mazel Tov. New Perek. Meruba midas tashlumi keifal, midas tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So we'll say the Mishnah over here is contrasting different types of payments. There's keifal. Remember, we learned about keifal. What's keifal? Keifal is dafka by a ganav, right? A ganav is a person who steals secretly. So the halacha is a person breaks into my house in the middle of the night, chas v'shalom, steals my object. We find him afterwards, he has to pay a double payment. That's called kefal. Arba v'chamisha is a special halacha that says that when someone steals a sheep or a cow, steals it, slaughters it, and sells it, they have to pay 4 or 5 times the value of the object. So for a sheep, it's going to be 4 times. For a cow, for us, it's going to be 5 times. That's a penalty payment. So these are both, well, we're assuming right now they're both penalty payments. Both kefal as well as arba v'chamisha are both penalty payments. So the Gemara says, meruba midas tashlumi kefal, midas tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So kefal has certain stringencies ultimately over arba v'chamisha. Shemidas tashlumi kefal, noheges bein davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim, ubein davar shein bo ruach chayim. Both say kefal applies to living items as well as to non-living items. In other words, both say that at the end of the day, whether the thief stole a living item or an inanimate object, and he's caught, he has to go ahead and pay kefal. On the other hand, umidas tashlumi arba v'chamisha eino noheges ela b'shor v'seh bilvad. Yet Rabbi say the penalty payment ultimately for what? The 4 and 5 times arba v'chamisha only applies to a shor and a seh shene'emar, because the pasuk says ki yignov ish shor o seh utvacho macharo. Because the pasuk says if a man will steal a shor or a seh and he shechts it and sells it, furthermore, ein hagonev achar hagonev mishan tashlumi kefal. This is another interesting case. If you steal from a thief, Reuven breaks into my home, steals an object in the middle of the night. He's a ganav, right? If he's caught, he has to pay kefal. What happens? Shimon steals the object from Reuven. Then it turns out, Abba said that what? We catch Shimon with the object. The halacha is, if you steal from a thief, you are not chayiv kefel. Now we'll say, now you're chayiv to pay, you're chayiv to return the object, but you're not chayiv kefel, you're not chayiv the double damages, or double payment, I should say. Similar, both say, that's what? If Reuven steals the object, and then Shimon steals it from him, and slaughters it and sells it, there is no obligation for the 4 and 5 times penalty payment. Fine. So says the Gemara. Ve'ilu midas tashlumi kefel nohages bein beganav, bein between tanas ganav. So we'll listen to this. Another interesting thing the Gemara points out, we actually referenced this in the last parak. The obligation to pay kefel is upon a ganav, right? So somebody steals secretly, so he has to pay kefel. We'll say, remember the case we had in the last parak? Let's say I'm watching Reuven's object. And then what happens? Reuven comes along to reclaim the object, and I say, what? Oh, Nebuch Reuven, I'm so sorry. It was stolen. Stolen in the middle of the night. And then it turns out that I have the object. So what's the halacha? I have to pay kefel as well. Right? I, who claimed that the object was stolen by a ganov, when it turns out that I am the thief, I have to pay kefel as well. Ve'ilu midas tashlumi kefel nohages bein beganov, bein betoin tainas ganov. So also, the idea that kefel applies, whether a person is the thief, or I claim that it was stolen by a thief, and yet, umidat tashlumi arba v'chamisha eino nohages ela beganov bilvad lo katoni. Interesting enough, Rabbi Osei, the Mishnah does not say that with Arba V'chamisha, it only applies with the ganav himself. So to which the Gemara says, why doesn't it say this? Because Mesir Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. This comes to support of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Dam Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hatoin Tainas Ganov Bipikadon, Meshaim Tashlum Ekefal. Because Rabbi Osei, the halacha is, Rabbi Yochanan says, if I was watching an object and I claim that it was stolen by a ganav, and then it turns out that I'm lying, I stole the object, I have to pay kefel. Similarly, tavach umbachar, mishalim tashlum arba v'chamisha. Now, both say, if I go ahead and what? If I claim that the sheep was stolen, slaughtered, and sold, and then it turns out that's what? That I'm in possession of the object, guess what? I have to pay the penalty payment of arba v'chamisha as well. Ika de amri, others say, lema mesiyei alev Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, say that our Mishnah supports the view of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. How so? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, hatoin tainas gana bepikad ha-mishayim tashlumi kefel. If I was watching an object and I claim it was stolen, and it turns out that I lied, and I stole it, I have to pay kefel. Tavach umachar mishayim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Similarly, Rabbi say, if I claim that the item that I was watching was stolen, and I claim it was stolen, shechted and sold, and then it turns out that I'm lying, I have to be arba v'chamisha. To which the Gemara says, you're right, mikatoni ein bein. Does the Mishnah say that these are the only distinctions between tashlumei kefel, between kefel and arba v'chamisha? To which the Gemara says, no, meruba katani. Ultimately, again, the Mishnah says that there are certain instances in which kefel is greater or more intense than arba v'chamisha, but tana v'shir. But Rabbi say, not all of the similarities between kefel and arba v'chamisha were included in the Mishnah. In other words, Rabbi, what the Gemara now is teaching me is the following, that namely, arba v'chamisha both apply in a case where I was watching an object, I claim that the object was stolen. So the halacha is, if I claim the object was stolen by a ganav, and it turns, which somebody who steals secretly, and then it turns out that what? I stole the object myself. What's the halacha? I am chayiv kefel. Similarly, if I claim that the object was stolen, shechted, and sold, and then it turns out that what? I was lying. I will be chayiv arba v'chamisha. So we'll say, so it's not only that cases of kefal and arba v'chamisha apply to the thieves, but it applies if somebody makes a claim and turns out that the claim was false, they are treated in accordance with the claim they made. So the Gemara goes right there. Shemidas tashlumi kefal nohages. So remember again, we'll say, here is the one difference. Well, not one. One of the differences that kefal applies to any stolen object, whether it's a living entity or not, versus arba v'chamisha that only applies to animals. To which the Gemara says, the way do we know this? The Tana Rabbanon, meaning how do I know that kefal applies to everything? The Tana Rabbanon, al kol davar pesha klal. So the pasuk says, al kol davar pesha, for any matter of iniquity. So we'll say this is talking about where someone goes ahead, ultimately again, and lies about certain claims. Al kol davar pesha, so for any matter of iniquity, klal. We'll say that is a general statement. Al shar al chamar al se, shar chamar al se, val salma. So for a shar an ox, a chamar a donkey, a se, sheep, salma clothing, prat. This is a prat. al kol aveda, or for any lost object, chazar v'kalal. So we'll say another klal. Klal upratu klal. So we'll say, so therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here that's what? This is the pasuk by Kefel, right? He said, if you steal an object, and then they ganav, steal it secretly, and then they find the object in your possession. The pasuk says, yishalim shnayim l'ra. You have to pay a double payment. Kefel. So we'll say, so the pasuk that deals with Kefel is a klal upratu klal. First, it says akol davar pesha for any matter of iniquity. Then it specifies certain items. Then what? Akol aveda for any lost or stolen object. So klal upratu klal. So we'll say the halacha is you go ahead and you learn out the klal based on the prat. How so? Ma prat mafurash davar hamataltav gufa mamon. So we'll say the prat in all of these cases is something that is movable and has an inherent value. Af kol davar hamataltav gufa mamon. So to Rabbi say you have to pay kefal for any object that you steal as long as what? A, it's movable. And B, it's inherently valuable. What does this come to exclude? Yatza karkaos she'in metalton. So we'll say it comes to exclude karka. Why? Why? Because karka is not movable. Yatzu avadim shukshula karkaos. It comes to exclude avadim because avadim are compared to karka. Yatzu shtaros she'afa pi she'metaltolin ein gufan mamon. But we'll say it comes to exclude a shtar. Why? Because the mice, again, a shtar, even though it's movable, a shtar doesn't have inherent value. Yatze hekdish. Similarly, again, hekdish is also excluded. Why? Re'ehu ksiv. Ultimately, again, because the pasuk says re'ehu, when you steal from your fellow. Hekdish is not re'ehu. Therefore, the laws of kefal do not apply by hekdish. So we'll say we'll stop over here for today. But again, so right now what we've established is that lemais, again, first of all, the din of arba v'chamisha and kefal apply both to the thief himself as well as to anyone else who's making that claim. Now, again, we've established, according to the Mishnah, kefal applies to all objects. Arba v'chamisha only applies to livestock, but even kefal doesn't apply to anything. In order for kefal to apply, what has to happen? It has to be, again, a davar metaltel. It has to be something that's movable and gufa mamon and inherently valuable. But if it does not comply with either of both of those criteria, remember, you'll still be chayiv to pay back what you stole, but you will not be chayiv a kefal payment. All right, the boss, we'll stop over here.